This week's parsha is Parshas Vayakel, and we are going to focus our shir in the first two psukim of the parsha. We'll first just recite the psukim and translate them. Afterwards, we'll analyze them and see what could be derived from this psukim. Chapter 35, pasuk number 1 says, Vayakel Moshe eskola das bnei Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the entire assembly of the children of Israel, Vayomer aleihem, and he said to them, Eile hadvarim, these are the things asher tzivo Hashem la'asois oisam, that Hashem commanded you to do them. Note that this is in the plural. Sheishes yomim teose melacha, 6 days work should be done, Vayoyim hashvi, in the seventh day, Yelochem Koidesh, it should be for you holy. Shabbos Shabbosoin Lashem, it's a complete rest day for Hashem. Kol Oise Voy Melocha, anybody that does any work, you must should be put to death. Going back to the first pasuk, Rashi says, Vayakel Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu gathered. Rashi explains what day was it that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered them to tell them these laws. Rashi says, Lemocharaz Yom Kippurim, Kesheyorad Minahar. After Yom Kippur, when he came back with the second tablets, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu told them these laws, which Rashi in the next pasuk says, Sheishes Yomim, 6 days, Hikdim Lohem Azora Shabbos, Letzivu Molechas Amishkon, that Moshe Rabbeinu told them first the commandment of Shabbos, as we see in pasuk number 2. Before he gives them the commandment to build a mishkan, a tabernacle, which is on pasuk number 4 and 5, to tell you, she'eino doiches a Shabbos, that the building of the mishkan does not supersede Shabbos, meaning that we are not allowed to transgress Shabbos in order to build a tabernacle. The Sifse Chachamim explains this Rashi this way, that Rashi was bothered, why does the Torah again have to tell me about the laws of Shabbos? That we already received as part of the Seres Adibres of the Ten Commandments. We also received certain laws of Shabbos in Mora. Why do we again need to have the laws of Shabbos? Therefore, he says that Rashi is saying that the Torah is reiterating the laws of Shabbos to let you know that Shabbos supersedes the works of the Mishkan. Don't think that works of the Mishkan supersede Shabbos, that you may do the works on Shabbos. Shabbos supersedes the works of the Mishkan. Then the Sifse Chachamim asks, maybe it is the opposite. Maybe the Torah is telling you the laws of Shabbos again to tell you that even though I gave you previously the laws of Shabbos, but nonetheless the Mishkan, the work of the tabernacle, would supersede Shabbos. The Sifse Chachamim answers that since Moshe Rabbeinu gave them first the law of Shabbos before he gave them the laws of the tabernacle, that means that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to let them know that Shabbos is the Iker, Shabbos is the main, and what's written later is subordinate, meaning that first we have the commandment to keep Shabbos, that's supreme, and afterwards you have the commandment to build the tabernacle, meaning when it's not Shabbos, you can build the tabernacle. And the Sifse Chachamim says that if we explain Rashi this way, then we are able to answer a very strong question. The question is, why, when Hashem gives the message to Moshe Rabbeinu that he wants us to build a tabernacle, but not do it on Shabbos, it is not enough that he puts the parsha of Shabbos next to the parsha of tabernacle. Hashem also has to add there an extra word, the word ach, which we learn from that we are not supposed to do the works of the tabernacle on Shabbos, meaning that previously on parshas Truma Tetzaveh and half of Kisisa, Hashem is giving us the laws of the tabernacle, the vestments of the Kohanim, and all the articles that go inside. After all this, on chapter 31, pasuk number 13, there we have a commandment, Ve'ato daber el bnei Yisrael leimor, and you should speak to the children of Israel, saying, Ach, only es shabsoi saitishmoiri, you should safeguard my Shabbases, ki oisi beinu veinechem ledoroseichem, because the Shabbos is a sign between me and you for all generations, lodas, for you to know, ki ani Hashem mekadishchem, that I'm Hashem who sanctifies you. And Rashi explains there that the word ach is a miud, means to say it only, it means to deduct something. What does it mean to deduct? Rashi says that deducting the works of the Mishkan not to be done on Shabbos, meaning that Hashem is telling them the Mishkan first, but don't do it on Shabbos. But had we not had the word ach, then even though the Mishkan is juxtaposed to the laws of Shabbos, I would have thought the Mishkan supersedes Shabbos. Then we have technically a question. In our case, in Parshas Vayakel, we don't have the word Ach, and the Mishkan is juxtaposed to the laws of Shabbos, and yet we assume and we are sure that Shabbos supersedes the Mishkan. How do you know that? According to what the Sfiv Sichachomim says, it's very good. Because there, since Hashem first gave you the law of the tabernacle, and then He gave you the law of Shabbos, then you would have thought that the tabernacle takes precedence over Shabbos, because that was given first. Therefore, Hashem has to put the word Ach in order to dispel this idea, meaning, just by the juxtaposition, you would have thought that the Mishkan pushes away Shabbos. Therefore, we have to have the word Ach to tell you that it doesn't do. Why would you think that the Mishkan pushes away Shabbos? Because Mishkan is written first. But here, since Moshe Rabbeinu reversed the order anyways, because Moshe Rabbeinu first gave the laws of Shabbos, then he gave the laws of the Mishkan, then we don't need to have the word Ach, because from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the laws of Shabbos first, that showed everybody that the laws of Shabbos take precedence over the laws of the Mishkan. The Maharal in Gur Arya asks a question on this idea of the Sif Sechachomim, that every time something is written first, that means that that thing takes precedence over what's written afterwards. That seems to be incompatible if what Rashi himself writes in Parshas Kedoshim, Vayikra, chapter 19, pasuk number 3, where there the pasuk says, Ish imoy ve'aviv tiro, a man should revere its mother and father, ve'shabsoy say tishmoiru, and he should keep my Shabbases. The pasuk continues, Ani Hashem Elokechem, Am Hashem your God. There, Rashi says that the reason it's written Kibbut Avaem next to Shabbos is to tell you that if your father or your mother tells you to transgress Shabbos or any other mitzvahs of the Torah, then you are not required to transgress. That Shabbos takes precedence over Moire of Vaem, of referring your father and mother. And that is exactly the opposite what the Sif Sechachomim explains now. Because there it's written first, Ish imoy v'aviv tiro, that a person should fear his father and mother, and only afterwards it's written, V'eshab soysay tishmoiru, you should safeguard my Shabbases. And if, as we mentioned, everything that's written first takes precedence, then a father should be able to tell his son that he should transgress Shabbos, because Eshab soysay tishmoiru, that you should safeguard my Shabbos, it's written only after that a person should revere his parents. Seemingly, reverence of the parents should take precedence over the keeping of Shabbos. And yet, Rashi there says exactly the opposite, that Shabbos takes precedence over revering your parents. The Maharal answers that there is an exception to the rule, because there it's written afterwards, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, that I'm Hashem your God, and Rashi brings down, what does it mean? Ato v'avicha chayavim b'chvoidi, that since everybody, meaning you and your father and your mother, are required to honor me, lefikach, therefore, loitishma loy levatel es dvari, you're not allowed to listen to him, to cancel and to void my words. Meaning that since your parents are required to keep Shabbos, and since you are also required to keep Shabbos, then when they tell you not to keep Shabbos, they are doing something wrong. In that case, since they are doing something wrong, you don't have to listen to them. But had it not been for this pasuk that says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, then there, the Maharal says, we would have also thought that a person should listen to his parents and transgress Shabbos, because revering your parents, it's written before Shabbos. But now that the Torah writes down these words afterwards, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, that I'm Hashem your God, then the Torah is alluding that I'm not supposed to listen to my parents, because my parents are required to listen to the words of Hashem also, and when they tell me to transgress the word of Hashem, I'm not supposed to listen. In the same way that when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that he should keep Shabbos, since he first told the Mishkan and then he told Shabbos, Hashem was required to put a hint in the words by saying the word Ach, to tell you that the Mishkan is diminished regarding Shabbos. So too here, by Hashem putting the words Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm Hashem your God, Hashem is telling you that this is not the normal rule, that in this case I want you not to listen to your parents, because Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm Hashem your God, and I'm the God of your parents too, and your parents are required to listen to me, therefore you don't have to listen to your parents in this regard. The Maharal now asks a very strong question. We just mentioned that really this is not the time to write about the laws of Shabbos. The only reason that the Torah is writing now the laws of Shabbos is in order to let you know that you are not allowed to do the tabernacle work on Shabbos. Meaning that had the Torah not put here Shabbos before the laws of the tabernacle, I would have thought that I could do the tabernacle on Shabbos. The Maharal asks, how would I ever think of something like that? We have a rule that Ese Doiche Loisese, that a positive commandment pushes away a negative commandment. And you want to tell me that since now we have a positive commandment to build the tabernacle, I would have thought that Shabbos is pushed away for the building of a tabernacle, because Shabbos is a negative commandment. We're not allowed to do any work on Shabbos. That's a negative commandment. Building the tabernacle is a positive commandment. And we have a rule that a positive commandment always pushes away a negative commandment. And that's why you want to tell me that the Torah has to write down here the laws of Shabbos first, to tell you that this rule doesn't apply here. The Maharal asks, this rule wouldn't apply here anyways, because we also have a rule that a positive commandment, only pushes away a negative commandment, but a positive commandment doesn't push away a negative commandment and a positive commandment combined. Meaning, you assume that the positive commandment of building the Mishkan would have, in normal circumstances, pushed away the negative commandment of not working on Shabbos. But Shabbos is not only a negative commandment, Shabbos is also a negative commandment and positive commandment, as evidenced in the Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Lamed Beis Amed Aleph, where there the Gemara says that Shabbos is a asei velois asei. Shabbos has the negative commandment of loisase kamalocha, don't do any work, but Shabbos also has the positive commandment of what's written on Mishpatim chapter 23, verse 12, Vayoy Mashvi Tishbois in the seventh day you should rest. So Shabbos is a positive and negative commandment. The positive commandment, you should rest, and the negative commandment, don't do any work. And the positive commandment of the Mishkan cannot push away the positive and negative commandment of Shabbos. Then why does the Torah have to write me here the precedence of Shabbos and to juxtapose it so I should know that Shabbos takes precedence over the works of the Mishkan? Shabbos would have taken precedence over the work of the Mishkan anyways, because Shabbos is a positive and negative commandment, or the Mishkan is only a positive commandment. The Maharal answers that because the pasuk that I mentioned on chapter 23, verse number 12, starts Sheshes Yomim Tase Masecho, 6 days you should do your activities, Vayoyim Ashvi Tishbois, in the seventh day you should rest. This pasuk is telling me that on the seventh day I have to rest from my work, because that's what it's written. Sheshes Yomim Tase Masecho. You should do your activities, but not activities of heaven. Therefore, the positive commandment that's written, Vayoyim Ashvi Tishbois, the seventh day you should rest, I would have assumed that it's talking about your work, meaning your work that you're entitled to do, that you don't have an obligation to do, that you should rest on the seventh day. But works that you do for heaven, that you don't have to rest on the seventh day. Then, according to this, works that I do for heaven only have a negative commandment on it, but don't have the positive commandment of Vayoyim Ashvi Tishbois, on the seventh day you should rest, because that only applies for works you do for yourself and not for works of heaven. Then all I have is the negative commandment of Lo Isase Kol Melacha, don't do any work on Shabbos. But since now building the Mishkan is a positive commandment, and all I have regarding works of heaven on Shabbos is a negative commandment, then I would have thought that the positive commandment pushes away the negative commandment, meaning that the work of the Mishkan would supersede Shabbos, and I'm allowed to do those work on Shabbos. Because regarding the positive commandment of resting on the seventh day doesn't apply to the works of heaven, it only applies to the works that I do by myself, on behalf of myself, and doesn't apply for the work of the Mishkan. Therefore, the Torah has to put me here, the laws of Shabbos first, and afterwards the laws of the Mishkan, for you to know that even though by normal rules you would say that you are allowed to make the Mishkan on Shabbos, but nonetheless I prohibit you from doing this. Normal rule would tell you that asei doich elois asei, that the positive commandment pushes away negative commandment, and now that I took away the positive commandment of Shabbos, that's all that remains. Nonetheless, the Torah is telling me I want to keep the sanctity of Shabbos supreme and only build the Mishkan if you do not transgress Shabbos. The Yisroch Moshe gives a very novel answer to this idea of why I would have thought that the Mishkan would supersede Shabbos, even though Shabbos is a positive and negative commandment. That the Torah has to specifically write me that the Shabbos takes precedence over the Mishkan, why would I think otherwise? And he explains that it's based on the concept of why always a asei pushes away a lois asei. What is the logic that a positive commandment should push away a negative commandment? If both of them are commandments of Hashem, why would you think that one takes precedence over the other? And the answer that he says is that since the positive commandment is an active mitzvah and the negative commandment is a passive mitzvah, for example, the Torah tells me that I should never cut a nega tzoraz. If I have a skin ailment that is diagnosed as a tzoraz, then I'm required to safeguard and watch it, that it should not be cut and taken off. And that is the negative commandment of not removing this tzoraz, which doesn't require any action. It just required to watch and make sure that nobody takes it off. But what happens if you happen to have this nega exactly on a place where you have to make the circumcision, then the positive commandment to do a circumcision supersedes the negative commandment of watching and protecting and safeguarding this nega, this tzoras. Why? Because something positive that you do for Hashem always takes precedence over something passive that you do to Hashem. To serve Hashem actively, it's more important than serving Hashem passively. According to this logic, that something active always pushes away something passive, the Yismach Moshe says, I understand why I would have thought that the Melechas HaMishkan pushes away Shabbos. Meaning that since Shabbos, both the positive and negative commandments are passive, because the negative commandment means don't do any work, meaning stay passive and don't do the work. And the positive commandment of Shabbos is Vayom HaShvi Tishbois, the seventh day you should rest, which means again, don't do any work, just rest. So both the positive and negative commandment of Shabbos are the kind of passive mitzvahs. Therefore, I would have thought that in our case, the positive commandment of building a Mishkan, which is an action mitzvah, we have to be active to serve Hashem, that would push away, in our case, the positive and negative commandment of Shabbos. Since both the positive and negative commandment of Shabbos involve passivity, involve you not doing anything, either don't do any work or rest on the seventh day, both involve you doing nothing. Therefore, doing something for Hashem, doing the positive commandment of building the Mishkan, I would have thought would have superseded the positive and negative commandment of Shabbos. Because the positive commandment of Shabbos is not like any other positive commandment that makes you do an action. This positive commandment of Shabbos only involves inaction. Therefore, I would have thought that the Mishkan should supersede it. The Torah has to put me here that Shabbos comes first for you to know that it does not supersede Shabbos. Meaning that Shabbos is the main thing and you should only build the Mishkan if it does not involve transgression of Shabbos. In truth, we must find another reason why the Torah wrote down the laws of the Mishkan first and then the laws of Shabbos, besides the idea of telling us that you're not allowed to work on the Mishkan on Shabbos. Meaning that even if I hold that Ese, Doiche, Lois Ese, that a positive commandment would push away a negative commandment, and that would be the reason why I would have thought that the works of the Mishkan should push away Shabbos, but that is untrue, because the Gemara in Ksubas, Daf Mem Omed Aleph 40a says that when do I say the positive commandment pushes away the negative commandment? Kegon Mila Betzoras, as an example of Mila and Tzoras, meaning that exactly on the place that I want to make the circumcision, that is exactly where the nega is, where that thing I'm required to safeguard is. So it's impossible for me to do both. In the case where it's impossible for me to do both, I have to choose one. Then I have to choose the positive commandment over the negative commandment. But in a case where I could do both, for example, our case, where I could build the tabernacle during the week and not build it on Shabbos, and I won't be transgressing anything by not building on Shabbos, then I do not say Ese Doiche Lois Ese, that the positive commandment pushes away the negative commandment. The positive commandment only pushes away when it has no choice. But when there is a choice, as here, then I would say you do the positive commandment when you can and you maintain the negative commandment when you can. Therefore, I would never have thought that the Mishkan should push away Shabbos. And if that is so, we have to find another reason why the works of Shabbos is written here right before Mishkan. Sefer Berach Moshe gives an interesting answer why the Parsha of Shabbos is written before the Parsha of Mishkan. And he brings a Maskil LeDavid, which the Maskil LeDavid asks a question: why did Moshe Rabbeinu wait till the day after Yom Kippur to tell the Jewish people about the Mishkan? Why didn't he tell them as soon as he came down from the mountain? As soon as he came down from the mountain, he should tell them that you'll be able to get atonement by building a tabernacle. Why did he wait an extra day to tell them this commandment? The Maskil LeDavid answers that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that if he tells the Jewish people to build a tabernacle on the day that he came down on Yom Kippur, then as soon as he tells them, the people will be very excited that Hashem will prove to them that he atoned by coming down and resting his divine presence on the tabernacle. The people will quickly go run and start bringing items for the tabernacle. And we know that we're not allowed to transgress Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur has the same strength as Shabbos. As the Gemara Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Beis says, all prohibitions of Shabbos apply to Yom Kippur. And one of the melachas of Shabbos, one of the prohibited works of Shabbos, is carrying. You're carrying an item from private domain to public domain. And if you're bringing something that you donated, then you are transgressing this prohibition. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid to tell them the laws of building the tabernacle, because he was afraid that people will quickly do it and transgress it. And Moshe Rabbeinu decided to transmit the laws of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, only after Yom Kippur. So Sefer Berach Moshe explains that according to this, we could understand very well why Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned first the laws of Shabbos and then he mentioned the laws of the tabernacle. Meaning, since we just mentioned that Yom Kippur has the same strength of Shabbos, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain, he started giving him the laws of Shabbos. Since this was the first Yom Kippur that the people ever had, because it's the Yom Kippur right after they came out of Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach him the laws of Yom Kippur. And as we mentioned, the laws of Yom Kippur include all the prohibitions of Shabbos. Then Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach him the laws of Shabbos. And the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, says, how do I know there is 39 melachas of Shabbos? The Gemara says, because written Eile, which is numerical value 36, Aleph is 1, Lamed is 30, He is 5, is 36. Could have been written Dvorim, which is plural 2, which will be 36 plus 2, 8. But it's written Hadvorim, the things. So since Hadvorim comes to add 1, so we have 36 plus the plural, which is extra 2, plus the He, which represents 1 more. So therefore we have 36 plus 3, that's 39 malachas. We learn 39 malachas from these words, Ela Hadvarim. These are the things that Hashem commanded you to do. So Hashem told us the 39 malachas. According to Sefer Berach Moshe, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain, since it was the first Yom Kippur that the Jewish people encountered, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give him the laws of Shabbos, which is the same laws as Yom Kippur, because these laws are applicable right now. And that also answers the question, why did Moshe Rabbeinu reverse the order from what he received from Hashem? Meaning that Hashem told him in Parshas Kisiso first the laws of the Mishkan, and then right before the golden calf, he tells them the laws of Shabbos. And Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain, he reversed the order. He first tells them the laws of Shabbos, and then he tells them the laws of the Mishkan. And the reason is because since he came down on Yom Kippur, he wanted to let the Jewish people know the laws and halachas of Yom Kippur for them to be able to keep it without further transgressing it. And only afterwards, the next day, he gave the laws of the Mishkan, because as the Maskil David explains, had he told the laws of the Mishkan during Yom Kippur, people would have run and started donating and would have transgressed Yom Kippur. Then Moshe Rabbeinu first decides to give the laws of Yom Kippur, which is the same laws of Shabbos, meaning the same works that we transgress on Yom Kippur, we transgress on Shabbos. Once he does that, he starts giving the laws of the Mishkan. I wanted to answer of why did Moshe Rabbeinu give here the laws of Shabbos first and then the laws of the Mishkan. And I also wanted to answer why is the mention of the 39 Melachas written specifically in our parsha, meaning that the Eileh HaDvarim, as we mentioned before, alludes to the 39 Melachas of Shabbos. Why isn't this written when we're talking about the mitzvah of Shabbos? We discussed Shabbos already a couple times before. Why isn't the 39 Melachas alluded to them there? And I wanted to answer based on Ramban in Parshas Veschanan, where the Ramban is discussing the difference between the Ten Commandments, the Aseres Adibros, listed in Parshas Yisroi, and the Aseres Adibros listed in Parshas Veschanan. On chapter 20, Pasuk number 8, there it says, Zochar es Yom HaShabbos LeKadshoy, remember Shabbos, and there on Pasuk number 11 gives you the reason why should we keep Shabbos. Kisheshes yomim also Hashem es Hashamayim v'Haaretz, because in 6 days Hashem created the heaven and earth, es Hayom v'Kol Asher Bom, the sea and everything that's in it, v'Yonach b'Yom HaShvi'i, and he rested on the 7th day. Al kein berach Hashem es Yom HaShabbos, therefore Hashem blessed the day of Shabbos, v'Kadshehu, and he sanctified it. It's written there that the whole reason for keeping Shabbos is because Hashem worked in creation the 6th day, the 7th day he rested. Therefore, by you keeping Shabbos, you give a testimony to creation. In Veschanan, the Torah describes the reason for Shabbos differently. On chapter 5 of Dvorim, Pasuk number 12 says, Shomoir es Shoyma Shabbos Lekachoy, safeguard the Shabbos to sanctify it, and not Zochoir, and not remember the Shabbos, meaning that in the first time the Aseres Adibros were mentioned, first Zochor, which is the positive commandment of Shabbos, is mentioned, and here Shomor, which is a negative commandment of Shabbos, is mentioned. And also on Pasuk number 15, there it gives you a different reason for Shabbos. Vezocharto, you should remember, ki eved o yiso beretz Mitzrayim, that you were a slave in Egypt, V'yitziyachu Hashem Elokecha Misham, Hashem your God took you out of there, B'yat Chazaka, if a strong hand, V'zroyin Otuya, and an outstretched arm, Al-Kain, Sivcha Hashem Elokecha, therefore Hashem commanded you, Laso is as Yom HaShabbos, to make the day of Shabbos, meaning to make the day of rest. The simple interpretation of Rashi says that Hashem redeemed you, and since you technically belong to Hashem, then Hashem wants you to be his servant and do the mitzvahs. But here in Devarim, it's not mentioned anything about 6 days Hashem creating the world and the 7th day resting. The only reason it's mentioned why we should keep Shabbos is because we were slaves in Egypt, and Hashem took us out of Egypt. The Ramban brings the Rambam in Moreh Nevoichim, in the Guide to the Perplexed, that the Rambam says that both the reason of creation and the reason of Egypt are reasons for different purposes. Meaning, since in Parshas Yisro it's written the word Zochor, remember Shabbos, and that the Talmud says is Zochreo Ayin, that we have to sanctify Shabbos when Shabbos comes in, to proclaim it Shabbos. Therefore, there, the Torah writes the reason of creation. since in the seventh day of creation Hashem sanctified the seventh day, so too we should sanctify Shabbat. But here in Voeschanon, since it's written Shomer, refrain from work, so Hashem is telling you the reason I want you to refrain from work is for you to remember the kindness I did to you when you were in Egypt, you were working full time, and I took you out of Egypt, I gave you the kindness that you don't have to be a slave anymore. Therefore, I tell you not to work on Shabbat. Both creation and Exodus of Egypt are reasons for Shabbat. One is for the positive commandment of Shabbat, of sanctifying of Shabbat, and that's creation. And the other one is the negative, don't do any work, and that's remembering that you left Egypt where you had to work very hard and Hashem was very kind to you, and that is the purpose of remembering our coming out of Egypt on Shabbat according to Maimonides. The Ramban disagrees with this idea, and the Ramban believes that both ideas are the ideas that Hashem created the world in 6 days, in the seventh day he rested. And he explains that in the Luchas, in Parshas Yisroi, there it's written the loftiest idea, therefore it's also written the positive commandment, because that's the loftiest idea, to sanctify Shabbat and to know that Hashem is the creator of the world outright. But here in Parshas Voeschanon, the description is that in case that you are going to have a doubt in the future that Hashem is the creator of the world, then you should look what happened in Egypt. All the plagues that Hashem gave to the Egyptians, all the miracles he made to us at the sea, how Hashem is able to control and change nature, that will make you come to the realization that Hashem is the one true God, and he's the one who created the world in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. Therefore, you'll come to the realization that you should keep Shabbat. And if you take a look at the precise language of the Ramban says, Al kenoma bekan, therefore it tells you here about Egypt, im yale bilvav chasofik, if a doubt will come into your heart, ala Shabbat, regarding Shabbat, hamori ala chidush, that is proves the renewal of the world, then you remember what happened in Egypt, and that will make you come to the realization that Hashem is the true creator of the world. According to this Ramban, this description here in Voeschanon regarding us coming out of Egypt is less than optimum. The optimum behavior is described in Parshas Yisroi, where we believe totally that Hashem is the creator. And in here, in Parshas Voeschanon, it's a tool in case you need help remembering that Hashem is the creator, then remember Egypt. There's an interesting Tosfos in Psachim Daf Kof Yud Zayin Amud Beis, where there the Gemara says, Omar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, V'tzorich sheyazkir yetzias Mitzrayim b'kiddush hayom, that we have to always put our coming out of Egypt, every time we make Kiddush in Shabbos and Yontif, we are required to do that. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Leman tizkor ez yoyim teizchom etz Yisrayim, you should remember the day that you depart Egypt. Uksiv, also it's written, Zachor ez yoyim haShabbos lekachoy, that you should remember the Shabbos to sanctify. Therefore, since it's written here, Zachor, and there is written, Leman tizkor, we have to remember every Shabbos, Egypt. Tosfos says that he heard a medrash that it says that since the Egyptians enslaved the Jewish people beforeh with back-breaking labor, as it's written in Shmos chapter 1, pasuk number 12, and beforeh in the alphabetical system of at bash, meaning where the first letter of the Jewish alphabet, the aleph, is equivalent to the last letter of the Jewish alphabet, the taf. The second letter of the Jewish alphabet, the Vet, is equivalent to the next to the last letter of the Jewish alphabet, the Shin, and so forth. The Gimel, which is the third letter, would be equivalent to the Reish, and so forth. Then it will come out that the Pei is equivalent to a Vav, the Reish is equivalent to a Gimel, and the Chav is equivalent to a Lamed, meaning that the Egyptians enslaved us Bevegal. the Vav Gimel Lamed is numerical value 39, because the Vav is numerical value 6, the Gimel is 3, that makes 9, and the Lamed is 30, that's 39. Then the Tosfos says that he heard that the Egyptians enslaved us with the 39 Malachas, therefore Hashem prohibited us to make these 39 Malachas on Shabbos as a remembrance of our freedom from Egypt, meaning that the original back-breaking labor that the Egyptian forced us to do was that the Egyptian that forced us to do the 39 malachas, the 39 types of work that are now prohibited on Shabbos. I wanted to answer accordingly that originally when we were in a very high level before we did the sin of the golden calf, then it wasn't necessary for us to know all the details of the 39 melachas, because we knew about Shabbos just from the fact that Hashem is the creator and Hashem rested on the seventh day, that would be enough. But now that we did the golden calf, now we saw that it came a suffix, like the Ramban says, a doubt about the creator, because we are able to make an idol. Even though we had this revelation with Hashem, we still could have this doubt and make this idol. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu has to tell us about Yetzias Mitzrayim, about us coming out of Egypt, because telling us about our redemption in Egypt will again fortify our belief that Hashem is the creator, as the Ramban mentioned. And how does he do it? By telling us, recounting again the Eile HaDvarim, the 39 melachas that are forbidden on Shabbos, and the reason they are forbidden on Shabbos is because you are the one who used to do them, and you used to work in them when you were slaves in Egypt, as Tosfos said, and Hashem, through His kindness, took you out of Egypt, and now you remember all the miracles that happened in Egypt, because now you are free from those works, and now you come to the realization that is one through God. Therefore, the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu does when he's coming down the mountain, he tells them first about the laws of Shabbos, and he tells them only here the 39 melachas, because here is the place where they fall, and they need to have this reminder that God is the creator, and God is the one that controls everything. Because until now, before the golden calf, they didn't need this reminder, but after the golden calf, they need this reminder for them not to make a mistake. So therefore, here is written, Eile HaDvarim, remember the 39 Melachas. And if you remember 39 Melachas, you know that you have to keep Shabbos. And could be that is the reason why Hashem told us to make these 39 Melachas in the Mishkan. Because since the Mishkan is an atonement of the golden calf, and the Mishkan is a sign that Hashem is the creator, automatically, these 39 melachas, which are the same 39 melachas that you did in Egypt, according to Tosfos, and they are supposed to remind you that Hashem is the creator, according to the Ramban, and therefore you'll come to keep Shabbos, could be that this is the reason why Hashem told you to make a Mishkan with exactly 39 melachas. That Hashem told you to make a tabernacle with 39 works for you to always, by looking at the tabernacle, you'll remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you'll remember that Hashem is the creator of the world, and also you will remember Shabbos, because since Hashem is the creator of the world, as the Ramban says, that will come to realization that Hashem worked for 6 days, in the seventh day He rested. Again, since according to the Ramban, the whole idea of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim on Shabbos is only when you have a case of doubt. Then, accordingly, before you have a doubt, you don't need to have the reminder of Yetzias Mitzrayim regarding Shabbos. Since, before we did the golden calf, we were not in a state of doubt, then we didn't need to have any reminders of Yetzias Mitzrayim regarding Shabbos. But after we did the golden calf, then, by us remembering our coming out, our exodus of Egypt, that will increase our belief in Hashem, and that will cause us not to sin again also. Therefore, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain with the second Luchas, he first decided to tell them about the mitzvah of Shabbos, and not only the mitzvah of Shabbos, he told them about the 39 malachas, as it's alluded to the words Eile Hadvarim, which Eile is 36, Hadvarim is the extra 3, which makes a total of 39, and he only says it here because according to Tosfos, these 39 malachas are the same malachas that the Jewish people were enslaved in Egypt, and Moshe Rabbeinu wants to evoke that idea of Egypt in order for us not to have doubts about Hashem. So therefore, since he wants to bring this idea for us not to have a doubt on Hashem, he talks about the 39 malachas and he tells you about Shabbos, that these 39 malachas Hashem told you not to do on Shabbos because Hashem wants you to know that he's kind to you and you remember the Exodus and you'll believe that Hashem is the only creator of the world. And if that is so, could be that not the malachas of Shabbos are Asr because these are the malachas that we use in the Mishkan, could be that Hashem told us to use the malachas in Mishkan, 39 malachas in Mishkan, because of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because you are supposed to always remember coming out of Egypt. Therefore, Hashem wanted you to know that you were saved from the 39 malachas. Therefore, Hashem said, do these 39 malachas for my benefit for the Mishkan. And therefore, Shabbos is written first because the whole reason of the Mishkan is because of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Shabbos. And by looking at the Mishkan, we'll see that it took 39 malachas to make the Mishkan. These are the 39 malachas that we used to be enslaved in Egypt, and Hashem freed us from there. Then we'll know that Hashem is the true creator of the world, and we will never even think of doing another golden calf. From this parsha, we see how important Shabbos is in the eyes of Hashem, and how important Shabbos is for your spirituality, that when you get your Neshama Yisera, gives you a jump start in your tshuva process, in your repentance process. So Hashem Yisburach should help that we should all keep Shabbos the proper way. Then what the Gemara says, that if the Jewish people keep Shabbos the proper way, then they'll be redeemed right away, will merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.